U.S. is still the world's biggest economy, but guess who's number two?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now. What's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States. Lower than expected economic growth numbers out this morning for Japan mean that China is now officially the world's second largest economy, behind only the United States. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz is with us live to talk about this symbolic importance of China being number two. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Steve.
So how did this happen?
Well, this is what happens when you're as big as China and you have around a 10% GDP growth for the better part of two decades. You know, four decades ago, Japan got to this point by promoting its own companies over foreign competitors. But China's become more integrated with the global economy. They said to foreign companies, come here and we'll make your products for you and develop our country at a breakneck speed in the process.
All right, Rob. So the U.S. is number one. I can't help but think that that position could be maybe in jeopardy at some point.
You are correct. Most economists I talk to think China will become the world's largest economy in a decade or so.
10 years. I mean, that's not a very long time, Rob. Is anybody scared about that?
I think it depends on what scares you, because, you know, here's the newsflash. The U.S. economy and the Chinese economy have in many ways become one giant economy. American companies account for more than half of China's exports, and China is the biggest holder of American debt. You know, whether we like it or not, we need each other. I spoke today with China economist Andy Xie. He gave me a great example of how our two economies are intertwined. You might remember how GM used to call itself the heartbeat of America. Mm. Well, listen to this.
At some point, General Motors will list its stocks in Shanghai. They eventually will make more money in China, and it will have more shares owned by Chinese. So it's hard to tell if it's an American company and a Chinese company.
And, you know, this might be a scary thing for Americans worried about losing jobs to China, but this might make you feel a little better. We're already seeing Chinese companies creating jobs in the U.S.
All right. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reporting from Shanghai. Rob, thanks.
Thanks.
All right. Another reason Americans are worried about China's economic growth is China's huge investment in the U.S. dollar. The U.S. Treasury Department releases new figures today that'll shed more light on how much American debt China holds. They already possess the biggest hoard of foreign currency assets in the world, most of them in U.S. dollars. But there are signs that China could be scrapping the dollar, and it has its eyes now on the euro. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
Beijing is secretive about the details of its reserves, but a picture is emerging. A former official at the Chinese Central Bank is quoted saying, "We have been buying quite a lot of European bonds." Meanwhile, Beijing has been selling some of its U.S. government debt, more than $70 billion worth over the past year. Steve Barrow is with the Standard Bank in London. He says the world's largest overseas holder of U.S. government securities clearly has some doubts about the dollar.
There has been and will be some shift away from the U.S. And maybe into European bond markets or perhaps into other bond markets. That perhaps is part of a diversification program.
But he claims there is no chance of a Chinese stampede out of the greenback. He says China has no choice but to hold the bulk of its ever-growing reserves in the dollar because it's the world's largest, most liquid currency. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, Chinese shares jumped about 2% today, but everyone else in Asia, not so happy. Japanese and Korean shares lost more than about 0.5% or less. European shares are slightly lower at the moment, anywhere from 0.5% or less there. Wall Street Friday, markets capped a week of losses. The Dow slid 16 points to close Friday at 10,303. For the week, the Dow was off 3.3%. The S&P 500 fell nearly 4%, and the NASDAQ tanked by 5%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at vanguard.com.
It's a big week for colleges and universities all across the country. U.S. News and World Reports publishes its annual rankings tomorrow. Meanwhile, a different sort of scorecard is out today, and the results might surprise you. Harvard got a D. Yale and Brown flunked. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott explains.
The American Council of Trustees and Alumni graded more than 700 colleges and universities, according to the courses they require outside a student's major. More than half of private colleges got a D or F for requiring two subjects or fewer. Ann Neal is the group's president.
Colleges and universities have essentially allowed their general education to become anything goes. And we think that that is doing students a disservice and that they deserve more than a do-it-yourself kit for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year.
Neal says employers complain that college graduates can't write well or do basic math. Deborah Humphreys is with the Association of American Colleges and Universities. She says making all students take American Lit 101 won't solve anything.
We are hearing from employers that they want more from college graduates, but I would not say that we're hearing that they want a more traditional, old-fashioned kind of core curriculum.
She says bosses want workers who can communicate and solve problems, skills she says they can learn in many kinds of courses. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, wheat exports are way off in Russia because of a big heat wave and wildfires there. But closer to home, one farmer in Oregon seems to be getting his wheat out just fine. About 3 years ago, the Portland and Western Railroad stopped rail service on a track that ran through Larry Vinnell's property. So Vinnell bought more than 5 miles of track and started his own rail line. A lot of Vinnell's neighbors are now using the line to ship some of their stuff out as well, which means farmer Larry Vinnell could be on track to grow something big. And in the process, he could make a lot of bread. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.